ते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So I was a very good boy and I bought my glass case to read, but the devil's in the details. These are, I can, they'll work for me? Okay, yeah, more of that. Sort of, yeah. Was it magnified? It's better, yeah. That's a lot, yeah, anyway. But, which one looks better? If Chacho Atma were here, was here, he would say these. Okay. All right. Avidyamana.
Avidyamana.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. Api.
Api.
Avabhati.
Hi.
Dvayo. Dhatur. Dhiya, Swapna, Manorata, Riyata, Tat,
Karma,
Sankalpa, Vikalpakam, Mano, Bhuto, Niranjad, Havayam, Tata, Syat, Avidyamanopyavadbhatihi dvayo Vidyamanopyavadbhatihi dvayo Jato dhya swapna manorato yata
Jato dhya swapna manorato
yata Tat karma sankalpa vikalpa kam mano Udho nirundhyat abhayam tata syat Avidyamanopyavabhatihi dvayo Avidyamanopyavabhatihi Jato dhya sapna manoratho yata
Jato
dhya sapna manoratho yata Udho nirumyad abhayam tata syat
Udho nirumyad abhayam tata syat
Karma-sankalpa-vikalpa-kammano
Buddha Nirvana Vayamukta Syat. Avidyamanokyabhati-payo. Yato-diyasvapnana-vato-yata. Atana-santapari-kato-samano. Yudhani-yungyabhati-yata.
Word meanings. Avidyamanaha. Not present in reality. Api. Although. Avabhati. Is manifest. He. Indeed. Vayaha. Duality. Jhatu. Of the person experiencing. Dhiya, by the intelligence. Swapna, a dream. Manaharata, or the conceiving of a desire. Yata, as. Tat, therefore. Karma, of material activities. Sankalpa vikalpakam, having the functions of forming positive and negative desires. Manaha, the mind. Buddha, an intelligent person. Nirundyat, should bring under control. Abhayam, fearlessness. Tataha, in this way. Syat, there may be. Translation. Although the duality of the material world does not ultimately exist, the conditioned soul experiences it as real under the influence of his own conditioned intelligence. This imaginary experience of a world separate from Krishna can be compared to the acts of dreaming and desiring. When the conditioned soul dreams at night of something desirable or horrible, or when he daydreams of what he would like to have or avoid, he creates a reality that has no existence beyond his own imagination. The tendency of the mind is to accept and reject various activities based on sense gratification. Therefore, an intelligent person should control the mind, restricting it from the illusion of seeing things separate from Krishna. And when the mind is thus controlled, he will experience actual fearlessness. Purport. Although the conditioned mind is bewildered by the objects of sense gratification offered by Maya, illusion, if one takes to unalloyed devotional service of the Lord, such material sense gratification gradually dissipates, for it is merely a mental concoction of the conditioned soul. Srila Sridhar Swami has emphasized by the words, avyabhicharini bhakti, that one cannot dissipate the illusion of material sense gratification unless one takes to the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord. As Srila Rupa Goswami has stated, anyabhilashitam shunyam gana karmad anavikam anukulyena krishna nushilanam bhaktir uttama. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. Unalloyed devotional service cannot be mixed with material sense gratification or mental speculation. The servant must act only for the satisfaction of the master. Similarly, Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Mam ekam sharanam braja. One must see only Krishna everywhere, and one must act exclusively for the satisfaction of Lord Krishna, the eternal master of every living entity. Srila Madhvacharya has quoted several verses from the Harivamsa, illustrating that the living entity, bewildered by identifying with his material body, home, family, friends, and so on, and thus entangled in the cycle of birth and death, accepts phantasmagoria as reality. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Shravana Kirtanadi Lakshanam Matratam Jatona Vyahanyeta. Vyahanyeta. If one seriously desires to vanquish the duality of material illusion, one must adopt the process of chanting and hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cited the following Vedic reference. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva Nasteva Nasteva, Patiranyata Prihad Naradiya Purana. According to Vedic literatures, the living entities of this Kali Yuga are very feeble in their power to understand spiritual knowledge. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhavyasya tutaha. Their minds are always disturbed, and they are lazy and misguided by so many bogus leaders. That's pretty relevant. Huh? Very current, yes. They are further described in the Bhagavatam as nishatvam, impatient and impious, dumedham, possessed of weak intelligence, and vasitayushaha, very short-lived. Therefore, one who seriously wants to overcome the ignorance of material life must surrender to the process of chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. As well as reciting and rendering submissive oral reception to the transcendental literatures presented by the Lord, such as Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. It should be understood that the living entity is completely spiritual and never actually becomes mixed with material energy. Asangohyayam purushaha. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, tasmin shudhepi kalpate. Although the living entity is shuddha, pure spirit soul, he imagines that he is a material creation and thus entangles himself in the network of illusion called Dehapatta Kalatradi. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has used the word manasa pradyaksha to describe the experience of material life. Manasa pradyaksha means that which is experienced only within the mind. The actual pradyaksha is described in Bhagavad Gita. Raja vidya raja guyam pavitram idam uttamam pradyaksha vagamam dharmyam shushukam kartum abhayam. When one submissively hears the instruction given by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita, which constitute the king of all knowledge, Raja Vidya, and the most confidential of all information, Raja Guyam, by associating with such spotless spiritual knowledge, Pavitram Idam Uttamam, one can directly experience one's eternal nature, Pratyaksha Vagamam. By experiencing one's eternal nature, one becomes thoroughly religious, dharmyam, blissful, susukam, and eternally engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, kartum abhayam. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has quoted the following Shruti mantra in this connection. Vajita rishika vayubhir adanta manas turagam. By the very senses and life air, one is conquered. By the very senses and life air, one is conquered. The uncurbed mind will again drag one away. By the very senses and life air, one is conquered. The uncurbed mind will again drag one away. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the meaning of this verse is Samavahaya Guros Charanam. If one rejects the lotus feet of one spiritual master, all of one's previous spiritual advancement becomes null and void. This has already been indicated in the previous verse by the words Guru Devatatma. Devatatma. Unless one accepts a bona fide spiritual master in the authorized parampara as one's worshipable deity and life and soul, There is no question of overcoming the duality of material mind. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has made the following comments on this verse. Quote, control of the mind is a result of living a life of devotional service to the Lord. By the influence of fixed devotional service, the accepting and rejecting mind can stop its thirst for sensory enjoyment apart from Krishna. In transcendental Krishna consciousness, there is no contradiction, pettiness, or lack of ecstasy. In other words, it is not like a material object which one always proves temporary and constantly miserable. Having forgotten Krishna, the conditioned living entity is suffering the misdirection and perversion of his own so-called intelligence. Living entities are fragmental parts of the supreme shelter, Krishna, but have fallen from Krishna's kingdom of spiritual pastimes. Because of forgetting the Supreme Lord, they become prone to sinful life and turn their attention to dangerous material objects which fill them with constant fear. If one desires to subdue the mind, which is constantly engaged in the duality of mental concoction, one must take to the devotional service of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, it is nice that in this verse, Rupa Goswami was quoted, because then we have opportunity to bring Rupa Goswami into this verse and discuss his position in our lives and the position of bhakti in general. I had an interesting experience this morning. I went on the Veda base and searched Rupa Goswami, the word Rupa Goswami, out of curiosity to see how many times it would come up. Anyone want to take a guess? Because you know if you do a search on the Veda base, something comes up like 700 times is a lot, isn't it? 700, 1,000, 1,200. Came up 4,422 times. And what's most interesting about it is that most of the time it comes up as Prabhupada quoting Rupa Goswami, not as Rupa Goswami's pastimes, but Rupa Goswami says. So I was just going down about 40 or 50 of them, and I would say of the 40 or 50, maybe 46 where Rupa Goswami advises, Rupa Goswami teaches, Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Devotion. So of those 4,000, maybe 3,700 are just references of Rupa Goswami. And I didn't have time to look at all the references, but off the top of my mind, I could guess there are probably 10 references that are quoted. 380 times those 10 references, making up the 3,000. The main. So what I got from that is there are like 10 or so verses that Prabhupada is always quoting of Rupa Goswami that kind of form the foundation of our whole basis of Krishna consciousness. Especially this verse that's quoted, Anyabhilashita Shunya. Yes, and you probably all know those verses. They're always quoted. And if you have a chance, go on Vedabase and look and see what the verses Prabhupada's quoting. So how important is Rupa Goswami in establishing Krishna consciousness? 4,422 times. Important, yeah. Very important. Extremely important. And this verse, Anyabhilashita Shunyam, is further expanding on the premise of Bhagavatam, what's the purpose of Bhagavatam? It's for pure devotional service. So now, what is pure devotional service? How do you know what it is? And why do we need to establish what pure devotional service is? Because as we know, so many people came and said, I am a pure devotee, and did all kinds of nonsense. So you have to establish what is pure bhakti. Even in Christianity, there's so many ideas of what so-called love of God is. Just complete concoctions based on their own conception, which basically comes out to be, God wants me to enjoy my senses. At least the Christians are a little respectable about it, but the Sahajiyas are not so respectable in how they enjoy. So, in any case, this definition is so important. It's coming from Rupa Goswami, defining what is pure devotional service. And As we all know, Prabhupada said something which is extremely unpolitically correct. He said many things which are not politically correct. And one of them is, there's no love in the material world. That's not very politically correct, is it, to say that? It's not something you would say on a wedding day to the couple. I just want to let you know that Prabhupada said, there's no love in this world, so, you know, don't bother. Or I can quote this verse, and if you think it's love, it's an illusion in your mind. It's not actually real. It's just you're either dreaming at night that it's love, or you're dreaming in the day that it's love. No. But what does Prabhupada mean? He doesn't mean there's no affection and that we should not have affection for one another. And he doesn't mean that there is no such thing as service to the devotees and pure service. What Rupa Goswami defines what of love is, there's nothing there but service to that person. There's not a drop of anything else. And where will you find in the material world love which is not mixed with anything? You won't find it. There's always something you want to get. Just like some young girls, you know, they're coming to Krishna consciousness and they say, I have this old boyfriend and he says he loves me. I said, well, it's very easy to test his love. Just tell him, I've become a devotee now, so if you love me, will you do anything I want? And he'll say, yes, okay, so we're going to be celibate. And see if he sticks around. They never stick around. So that's what love's about, right? So therefore, Prabhupada said, there's no love, because there's something you want to get. So Rupa Goswami has defined it for us in this verse. In meditating on these, you could say, these seminal verses that Prabhupada is always quoting of Rupa Goswami, it really helps us understand his position. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at the end of his life, said, our goal is to become a particle of dust at the feet of Rupa and Raghunath. And I believe it was Narottam Das Thakur said that our goal, the goal of every Vaishnava, is to be dust at the feet of Rupa Goswami. So when the acharyas say dust, what do they mean by becoming a particle of dust? They mean being a servant. And servant means what? One who follows the instruction. So to become a particle of dust at the feet of Rupa Goswami means to follow Rupa Goswami. So every Vaishnava, everyone who claims to be a Vaishnava, is what? Is either or aspiring to be a particle of dust at Rupa Goswami's feet, which means aspiring to follow Rupa Goswami. So we glorify in the Prana Mantra Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Rupa Anuga Virudapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harinahi. His teachings did not deviate one word from Rupa Goswami. So what does that say? That says everything, doesn't it? That says everything about being Rupa Anuga. That the acharyas in the line of Rupa Goswami, to be an acharya means everything you say does not deviate one word. You can't deviate one word from Rupa Goswami. Why? Because Rupa Goswami received the mercy of Mahaprabhu and Mahaprabhu had him be the one to represent bhakti. Not only that, it is said that if you want to understand Mahaprabhu, you have to understand it from Rupa Goswami. And if you want to understand Radha and Krishna, you have to understand it from Rupa Manjari. And Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari. So the way to understand Mahaprabhu or the way to understand Radha Krishna is through Rupa Manjari and Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Manjari is the most intimate associate. And therefore, when Mahaprabhu was at Rath Yatra and he quoted a verse which Radharani spoke when she was in Kurukshetra to Krishna, telling Krishna, basically, it doesn't work in Kurukshetra. We have to go back to Vrindavan. And I'm sitting here seeing you and I can't enjoy you. And we have to pull you out of here. He quoted that verse of Radharani during Rath Yatra. And nobody understood why. Why is Lord Chaitanya quoting this verse? Radharani at Kurukshetra. Nobody understood. Who understood? It was Rupa Goswami who understood. And he wrote another verse of Radharani explaining that mood. So why does he understand it? Because he understands Radharani's mood, because he's Rupa Mundra. And therefore, he's the most qualified to understand Lord Chaitanya's mood, because Lord Chaitanya is coming in the mood of Radharani. So who can better understand it than Rupa Goswami? And therefore, who is a better person to explain what Lord Chaitanya came to give than Rupa Goswami? And what did Lord Chaitanya come to give? He came to give Rasa Tattva, which was never given, or sometimes you can say, not given for a long time. So he's the person Lord Chaitanya chose to give what Lord Chaitanya chose to give, which is the understanding of Krishna consciousness, especially in the mood of conjugal rasa. So his position is special. And if you study Jiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also discusses rasa tattva, but it's following in the line of Rupa Goswami, as Rupa Goswami has outlaid the stages from Shraddha to Prema, and then the divisions of Bhava and Prema, which are very interesting. And I've read them and studied them, and still I don't completely understand them. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained them and elaborated on them exactly as Rupa Goswami has, following, because so everything follows in the line of Rupa Goswami. And sometimes we say we were Prabhupada Anugas, but Prabhupada Anuga means Rupa Anuga, because Prabhupada also is representing Rupa Goswami. And I was thinking this morning, it's interesting that Nectar of Devotion came out in 1970. So at that time, I don't think Prabhupada had come out with anything in the second canto yet, to my knowledge. It hadn't come out yet. So Prabhupada had come out with Bhagavad Gita and teachings of Lord Chaitanya, maybe 68, 69. And of course he had first canto Bhagavatam that he brought from India. And then Krishna Book and Nectar of Devotion came out in 1970. Summer. And we know Prabhupada said, I may not finish the 10th canto, I don't know if I will live that long, so we wrote the Krishna book. But I think it's significant that he gave us Nectar of Devotion, because thinking in that way, if I try to finish Bhagavatam, I may miss Nectar of Devotion. I don't think Prabhupada said it, but I think that's his intent in giving it, that we may miss Nectar of Devotion, and Nectar of Devotion is the science of bhakti. It explains everything exactly. And the importance of it, in my understanding, is that to preserve the sanctity of bhakti, there'll be so many people who will come and concoct their own ideas of what is bhakti, and Rupa Goswami has laid it out. It's a sign, Prabhupada says it's a science. This is how it is. This is sadhana, this is Vaidhi sadhana, this is Raghunuga sadhana, these are the stages, this is Bhav sadhana, this is prema, this is what it looks like, this is what it doesn't look like. You can't fake it. This is the external, but this is the internal. These are the stages you go through. So it's all there. It's all a science. So it's solid. So Prabhupada gave it to us. 1970, not qualified. And when Prabhupada gave it to us, every day we read Nectar of Devotion. That was the instruction. We would go on Sankirtan, and we would stop in the day for lunch, and we would have Nectar of Devotion, and we would read it. And everywhere in ISKCON, everyone was reading Nectar of Devotion every day. That was Prabhupada's instruction. Interesting, isn't it? And then when we got to the second wave, especially the third and fourth wave, we couldn't understand anything. And so some devotees were concerned, should we read it, because it's so far beyond our comprehension. This is 1970. Everybody's brand new. And Prabhupada said, yes, read it. And they said, Prabhupada, but we don't understand it. And he said, read it again. And if you don't understand it, read it again. And if you don't understand it, read it again. So I think that's some encouragement. When you hit a certain point in studying our philosophy where you're having trouble understanding, just read it again, read it again, read it again. So Prabhupada wanted us to understand these things. And these are things that were never revealed before. It's all these aspects of love and rasa. So he's Rasacharya, Rasatattvacharya. And who are we, the most unqualified people? And this is what is the most amazing thing about Lord Chaitanya. And this is what this purport is saying indirectly. That, what's our position? Our position is, we just think about sense gratification. It's basically what we do. That's like our MO, isn't it? Accepting and rejecting. You know, okay. What's after class? What's for breakfast? What do I want to eat? You know, what do I want to do now? You know, we're always, you know, what feels good, what doesn't feel good. That's our MO. Of course, we're devotees, so we're advancing beyond that. But still, that nature is there. So what's our qualification? And now Mahaprabhu is giving this amazing. He says, okay, we're going to let it out. We're going to give it all. So for 10 days, he instructs Rupa Goswami and Prayag. Tells him everything. He said, you're the most qualified person for this. Tells him everything about rasa, everything about the science of bhakti, all the way up to prema. And says, now, write it. Give it to the world. To us. And who's the world? It's us. I mean, the biggest readers of Rupa Goswami's books are going to be who? Westerners, isn't it, ultimately? Or Indians who are not Brahmins. It's not going to be Vaishnavas. Isn't that amazing? That's who's going to read the books, these books. It's not going to be Vaishnavas or Brahmins. It's going to be people outside of Vedic culture. They're reading these books. So that's a personification of, lets us see how merciful Mahaprabhu is, that he would do these things. So an interesting fact about the life of Rupa Goswami that you may not know, I found it very interesting. This question of how they ended up as servants of the Nawab Hussein Shah, because you would think Rupa Goswami and his elder brother Sanatan and Anupama, their younger brother, they're raised as pure Brahmins. So in that society, if you associate with a Muslim and engage in their service, you lose your caste. You're excommunicated. That was the society at that time in India. So why would they do that? And then basically, you say, they became virtual Muslims. In the virtual, how should I say? They virtually became Muslims, not actually. But in the view of the Brahmins, they were excommunicated from Brahminical society, so they were seen as Muslims. Because you're now engaged in the service of Muslims, and they adopted Muslim names. Like, why would they do that? Well, there's a story. I don't know if you know the story. But the Nawab had a minister who had mystic power. And in his mystic vision, he saw these two brothers. And he told the Nawab, he said, there's two pure young Brahmin boys. And if you engage them in your service, your kingdom will prosper. But then the question is, why would Rupa and Sanatan accept that service and become excommunicated from Brahminical society? And why even beyond that, why would they engage in that service? Interesting. If you think about it, you might guess the reason, but I'll tell you. The Nawab asked them, and he gave them an ultimatum, if you don't do this, I will, take a guess, blank you. Worse. Yeah, I'll kill you. If you don't do this, I'll kill you. So then he engaged in that service. And then eventually Rupa Goswami escaped, but Sanatan was not able, and therefore he was arrested. And most of us know the story. So that was Rupa and Sanatan were very dear to the Nawab. They were running his whole government. But this is how he treated them when they wanted to get free. But Rupa Goswami got free. Sanatan wasn't able to get free. He was caught and he was arrested. And eventually they were free. So it's an interesting point in the history of the leelas of Rupa Goswami. And then... Another interesting aspect of how Gaudiya Vaishnava literature is handed down is many of you may know that when the Acharyas wrote books, there are a lot of commentaries written on the books that they wrote, and sometimes they would write their own commentaries, which is... People nowadays, they do that indirectly. They just write another book, which is kind of like the first book. It's a takeoff, but it's not necessarily a commentary. But Jiva Goswami was the editor for Rupa Goswami, and then he became qualified to write the commentaries. So he wrote many commentaries. So it was preserved by Jiva Goswami. And then some say that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was an incarnation of Rupa Goswami. And that could be taken literally, or it could be taken an incarnation of the potency in the sense that the insight that Rupa Goswami had to explain Bhakti Shastras, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he had that same insight, that same ability. So, there are some other leelas I would like to describe, but my mind is going blank. What time do we have to end? Now? Or 9? What time do we normally end? What? Oh, okay. There's also Gauridas Pandit, which is interesting. Maybe I can remember some. We can talk a little bit about Gauridas Pandit. With Rupa Goswami, I just wanted to impress upon everyone the special position he had in understanding the mind and heart of Mahaprabhu to such an extent that Mahaprabhu chose and empowered him with his mercy to represent him, and the importance he plays in our sampradaya, and that everything we're getting from Prabhupada, 3,800 times Prabhupada's quoting him, it's just all coming through Rupa Goswami, how important that is for us. And hopefully that will inspire you to read Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, take advantage of what he's given as a science. So, Gauridas Pandit, I don't know if you know who Gauridas Pandit is in Krishna Leela. Gauridas Pandit is Subal. And I'm not sure if you know the special significance of Subal, but Krishna has many kinds of friends. Some are more dear than others, and he has some friends that are so dear and so close, they can do anything. Like, they'll be eating something and it'll taste good. And after they eat it, they go, Krishna, this tastes good. You should eat this. And they'll give it to him. That kind of friendship. So Subal and Ujjvala, they're the most intimate friends of Krishna. But these intimate friends are so intimate in Sakya Ras that it actually carries over into Madhurya Ras. Because what does Subal do? Well, Subal will do things like take a message from Shyama and she'll give it to Krishna. Or take a garland from Taraka and give it to Krishna. Or take a message and whisper it into Krishna's ear. Or bring some betel nut from another gopi. So he's intimately connected in Madhurya Ras. So that's how intimate these priyas, these Priyanarma Sakas are, the friends of Krishna. So that's who Subal is. And then he took birth in the Leela of Mahaprabhu as Gauridas Pandit. And there's a temple of that Gauridas Pandit has. It's about an hour from Mayapur, near Shantipur. Is it near Shantipur? Ambika Kalna? Is that near Shantipur?
No.
More or less?
No.
That direction? No? Yeah. So it's about what? 50, if you go. You go across the Jalangi and about 15-minute drive or so.
You have to cross the Ganges. Then you go across the Ganges and then it's about
2 or 3. I thought I went there once from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's place. Anyway, so it's about 15 minutes from my place.
Well, you go past the festival and then you cross
over. Yeah. So, an interesting pastime took place there. Mahaprabhu came there. This will help you understand the pastime. It said that Subal, he was so close to Krishna that he always held his hand and he never let go. Now I remember this pastime. Can we go back to Rupa Goswami? Then I'll go back. This is a very interesting pastime. Rupa Goswami wrote two books, Lalita Madhav and Vidagdha Madhav, and it was going to be one book, but he was traveling and he went to Satyabhamapur, and in Satyabhamapur he had a dream, and Satyabhama came and said, you shouldn't make them one book, you should make them two books, because one is Vrindavan pastimes and Lalita Madhav is pastimes outside of Vrindavan. Don't keep them together. So he did that. And then he gave to Raghunath, Lalita Madhav said, could you read this? Give me some feedback. And it was all about, it's all about Krishna's pastimes outside of Vrindavan. And you might think, well, why would the someone who's a Brajvasi want to read about Krishna's pastimes outside of Vrindavan? But what it does is it increases their feeling of separation. So he gave the book to Raghunath, and Raghunath was reading it. You know, there's only one copy, right? And Raghunath is reading it, and he's crying, 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 crying. And then Rupa Goswami says, can you give it back to me now? And he holds it to his chest, and he wouldn't give it back. And he's just crying, crying, because it brought out all these feelings of separation, because it's outside of Vrindavan. He's crying, crying, crying. And he had to write the Dana Kelly Kumudi so he could give it to him and barter it and get the get his book back. Did you know that? Isn't that interesting? It was just like it aroused the feelings of separation so intensely. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting story. So anyway, so Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, they came to visit Gauridas Pandit at his place. And have any of you been there to his temple? Yes, some of you. Yeah, it's a small temple, right, as I remember. In the back, it's big. That's where Janava was married, is that correct? Or she did bhajan there? Something? Yeah. Yes? No?
Yeah.
She was married there?
Yeah.
Is that where she was married? I think. Yeah. So his temple, it's still small. So Mahaprabhu came there, and then, so now we just can meditate on Subal always holding Krishna's hand, never letting it go. And then Mahaprabhu said, well, now I'm going to go. And Gauridas Pandit said, you can't go. You cannot leave. If you go, I will die. I won't let you leave. You can't go. And he's just crying and crying and crying and sobbing and sobbing. So this is Subal and his friend. You can't leave me. And he says, well, I'll leave a deity. He says, no, no, you can't go. You can't go. It just made it worse. And then he said, well, I'll manifest duplicates of myself. And then Mahaprabhu and Nityananda were standing there. And then he manifested a duplicate in the form of a deity. And then Gauridas Pandit was pacified. So now there's an actual duplicate. So those deities there were manifest by Mahaprabhu. So they were enacting pastimes for a while where there were four. Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, and those two deities. And he was feeding them and engaging in pastimes. And then eventually they left. And they, but there's another pastime, which is quite interesting, that they had a festival, which was on the bank of the Ganges. And it was a long story, but we don't have time. But anyway, at one point, Gaur Nitai went to join the festival. So they went off the altar and they came. And Gauridas Pandit came with a stick. He was very upset. And those deities disappeared into the heart of a devotee named Hridaya Chaitanya. That's why he has that name, Hridaya Chaitanya. Anyway, so just as with the temple of Bunki Bihari, they opened the curtains and closed because Bunki Bihari had run off the altar. In that temple, they don't keep darshan very long because they're afraid Mahaprabhu will run off the altar. So anyway, we've run out of time, but anyone wants to add more? There's so much, of course, there's so many things to say, but time is less.
Okay. I was going to say, this is the first time I heard that story of Srila Prabhupada says, when Rupa Goswami Pad wrote the, composed the prayers, Namo Mahabhadannaya. I never heard that. Just a couple years back, I was listening to Prabhupada's lecture. Prabhupada says that when Rupa Goswami Pad went with Anupam to Banaras to meet Lord Chaitanya, then from far, he hasn't met yet, they just arrived, and he was shocked that this is a place where Mahaprabhu could not find even one person to buy his basket of fruits or love of Godhead that he came to give. Because everybody says, Shoham, I am that, so they don't need, there is no buyer. And Rupa Goswami Pad was contemplating, and then Prabhupada says Rupa Goswami Pad was shocked other side of the Ganges that how these thousands and thousands of people who are completely in Mayavad, and they not only develop hungry for Krishna Prem, and they are being relished and they are rolling on the ground. So what kind of incarnation is this Lord Chaitanya? He fell flat. Prabhupada said, immediately he composed that verse, Namo Mahabhadannaya Krishna Prema Padaya Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaur Krishna. And he started crying and crying. And then he met Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu embraced. Right. He understood who Mahaprabhu was.
Right. And Prabhupada would sometimes say, we are not qualified. Only Mahaprabhu's mercy. Nothing else. It would be nice if we fall flat and cry and appreciate the mercy someday. Because oftentimes, you know, when devotional service is difficult, it's obviously we're not appreciating. And I also find this point you're making, I find that it actually that point is really underscoring everything Prabhupada says. It's like I like to paraphrase what Prabhupada says as an American. Look at what you have and don't be stupid. You are so fortunate. Take it, advantage fully, and go back to Godhead in this lifetime and get love of Godhead in the mood of gopis. Do you realize what you have? Do you realize how fortunate you are? And we're so dulled by sense gratification. We don't understand that. And so I hear that message, you know, like they say, read between the lines in Prabhupada's books. I always hear that because I heard so many lectures where Prabhupada said, become Krishna conscious in this life. Be fortunate. Don't be unfortunate. Don't give it up no matter what. Stick with it. So I think that message, that feeling that Rupa Goswami had, that's Prabhupada's feeling it also when he's preaching to us. You know, trying to awaken that in us. Look what you have. If you don't realize, Chiram, Chirat, for very long, this has never been given. Do you realize what you have? This is so rare. Thank you. So nice. Yes. You got something?
It seems that, you know, there's a transcendental plan of the Lord, you know, that Rupa Goswami and Sanat Goswami were under Nawab Hussain Shah, and also Haridas Thakur, you know, that it kind of debunked the whole Smarta Brahmanism and, you know, kind of set the stage for Viti Viti Achayati Nagarati Gram, you know, for spreading Krishna consciousness worldwide, you know, that it's not contingent upon birth, it's not contingent upon external qualifications, it's contingent upon just being very sincere, you know, and taking up the process.
That's a good point, yeah. And also as a side point, it was those Brahmins who were the cause of the Indians becoming Muslims, because when the Muslims would sprinkle water, they would go to the Brahmins and say what to do, and the Brahmins would say, you're finished, you're a Muslim, you can't do anything. So the caste Brahmins are responsible for all those Indians becoming, turning to Islam.
What is it? There's that, you know, how in Kali Yuga, demons actually take birth in Brahmin families. Yeah. Was that reference? Yeah. I can't think where it's from. But
I'm a Brahmin. Oh, I have a verse for you.
But, you know, it actually obscured the whole understanding of Krishna consciousness. Yeah. And this is what, you know, that plan of the Lord, you know.
And your point, it's so good, because even Prabhupada, some of Prabhupada's godbrothers had problems. Even though this is our philosophy, they had problems with us. Maybe they still do, I don't know. I mean, we are problems, I admit. We're not perfect. We have our samskaras. But, but that samskara of caste is very deep. I was once giving a lecture in the Calcutta temple. I was looking at the audience, and it just dawned on me how deeply ingrained caste consciousness is, and that now you've become devotees, and how that sticks with you, and just in the ashram and associating and analyzing, oh, you're from this family, you're from this income bracket, you have this background. It's just so deeply ingrained. Even in us as Westerners, what college, what university did you graduate from? You know, what did your parents do? You know, it's all, it goes very deep. So your point is well taken. And you know what Prabhupada said? He said, if you preach to the Muslims, then I take the dust from your feet, put it on my head. So, if you want to get special mercy, you know where to go. Yeah. Yes. You get special mercy preaching to Muslims. Yeah, for sure. Okay, anything else? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi.